Welcome into episode 91 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a blether with fireworks, the Natalie Servant Knit Along. I will have a review section of A Legacy of Shetland Lace by the Shetland Guild of Spinners, Knitters, Weavers and Dyers. What's a crack? Swap section, mum section, me section, what you doing section, and we end with the shoppy section and a snoring dog if you hear him in the background. I sponsor this from my own business, www.energyhunt.com, which is Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering service. It pays for my wage and therefore your podcast and has nothing to do with craft. Any links are with the show notes, so please get your cup of tea or your dram. I'll let you know what a crack is in Caithness this week. Or your toilet brush, because my podcast is the one where you can clean and feel guilt-free.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Firework. In Britain, we've got a sort of celebration on the 5th of November every year. I say sort of celebration because it's really to commemorate the foil plot to blow up the Houses of Parliament on the 5th of November 1605. Back in the day, there was a gang of people that didn't agree with the Parliament of the day nor what the King was doing, so they decided to go and blow it up, as you do. And there was a few of the gang trying to do this, and they nominated Guy Fawkes to be in charge of looking after the gunpowder, which was what they were going to use to do it. But because they didn't want to blow up some of their relations, they told them not to attend that date, and the plot was foiled after Anonymous later grassing them up. Guy Fawkes became the most famous one of them all, and his effigy is traditionally burned on a bonfire, commonly accompanied by a firework display. This is Daisy's firework impression from last year. This is Daisy's impression of a firework.
Boom!
Made me laugh. I'm glad they didn't manage to blow up the Parliament because the building itself is quite beautiful. Plus the artwork, the history of everything is quite brilliant if you put aside the squabbling of the politicians working in it. But I'm sure their squabbling and the squabbling today is just quite the same thing, but the building itself was improved. In my house, as I typed this, Richard was on the running machine with the bairns in the toy room, playing and dancing to my new running CD, and it starts with Katy Perry's Firework song. It has the line, "Do you ever feel like a plastic bag, drifting through the wind wanting to start again? Do you ever feel so paper thin, like a house of cards, one blow from caving in?" And I say, "Yes, Katy, I kinda do." Sometimes, I often feel like everyone else is invited to the party, that I only hear about after the event. Sometimes feel my face doesn't fit. Everyone else gets the fun things to do. I'm not in with the in crowd. But then, I'm not wheelie, or woe is me. Because really, I've got a great life. We've got our health, we've got fantastic parents and family, and we've got our wealth and our fancy house and our podcast and our business, etc. I could go on. But to be honest, I likely miss out on things on account of I've got my head down, quietly doing the crafting, and I don't want to be interrupted. But then Katy goes on, "You don't have to feel like a waste of space. Your original cannot be replaced. If you only knew what the future holds, after a hurricane comes a rainbow." I think she shoehorned that line in. "Maybe the reason why all the doors are closed, so you could open one that leads you to the perfect road. Like a lightning bolt, your heart will glow, and when it's time, you know." As thus she goes on about fireworks and her lovely Katy Perry way of screaming the lyrics at you. But I do like that. "So you can open one that leads you to the perfect road." I thought this song was okay. It was alright, I used to sing along in the car until I saw it at the end of Madagascar 3, where it's stupendously used. Katy Perry was married to Russell Brand. You know the one with the mad hair that got sacked from Radio 2 for phoning up Andrew Sachs? Him and Jonathan Ross, really should have known better. So off went Russell to the wilderness of films and, having a wonderful time to himself. Then recently he was on Desert Island Discs and, still not necessarily a fan of his, I understand him a bit more. Last week, Jeremy Paxman interviewed him on BBC Two's Newsnight programme where they came to the subject of voting. Russell Brand said he had never voted in his life. He said it was because he thought nobody represented him enough, and this made me quite angry. People die so he can have the chance to vote. Especially this armistice week will remember the fallen from the wars. those that have served the country and gave their lives in horrible wars so that we can have the freedom he so loosely uses. Now, I do agree with his opinion about the politicians not being up to much, and well, I don't think that we've got much choice either, but I exercise my chance to vote. I have the chance not to actually vote for anyone, spoil my paper, by telling that nobody represents me what I believe, but at least I would be using it, and this is the best way of commemorating those that have gone before. I don't know if it's a right to vote, but having the chance to vote is something that I think, if you can do, you should do. Russell's an awfully clever man, and he's had a completely different path to me, but I think he sells himself short in not seeing what I see. Now, I see this quite a lot, don't I? Now, Louise, it is something that my dad would say, and on Friday, that is 10 years anniversary of my dad passing. So we went up with a wee cross and a poppy onto his grave, which is our custom for Armistice, which is this coming Sunday. And we also support our serving troops, and our friend's boyfriend is going back to Afghanistan with the 617 Squadron, and we wish them all the best. Safe out, safe in, as they say for the common riding, sort of, but in a more Borders accent. Whilst sometimes I feel like I'm passing by on things, such as everyone else is knitting, Martina Baham patterns, and I came to thinking, when was this decided? I didn't see this memo. Everyone else seems to be working on projects that they think are wonderful, and then asks, why aren't you? And I just smile. Remember, I'm a cracker, and I'm busy doing my own thing, such as playing with all the crafty things. It's not a competition, and I can please myself mostly. So don't be a paper bag this month, be a firework. And if you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the daisy giggle. Knit along. Well, just you sit down there and we're knit along Natalie Servant Gang. This started on the 1st of October and is running for another few days to the 15th of November, which is next week. So if you put up your nearly finished or finished object, I'll put you into a raffle and send you a prize. And as you know, I chose the mock cable hat and cowl set for Richard. It's all finished and on my project page. Please do go and have a look at Natalie Servant's designs. She's got some lovely taste. Hi, Natalie.
The review section.
Review section. I was in Wick Library and I managed to get out two very wonderful books. One is Moomin and the Winter Snow, and I love all things Moomin. This isn't the review, but it's quite timely because his wee pal Snufkin is away for the winter. The Moomins are about to hibernate, and I look forward to the first warm day of spring when Snufkin comes back. I recommend this book in All Things Moomin by Tove Jansson. The other book I got out, it's Cracker. It's a legacy of Shetland lace by the Shetland Guild of Spinners, Knitters, Weavers and Dyers. Its price on the back is £23.99 and it's printed and published by the Shetland Times Limited. You can buy it from www.shetlandtimes.co.uk or Amazon or Jameson Smith or the Book Depository, so it's quite easily available. The book itself is 9 inches by 12 inches and it has 100 pages and paperback and full colour. It's not uncarry-aboutable, but you will need your bigger knitting project bag for it. I think that they could have made it smaller and less pages, but I'm glad they didn't. This was made for knitters who like a pattern written in a decent size font, and I'm talking size 12 font at least. There's a nice introduction about the Shetland Islands, the Shetland sheep, then the lace and how Shetland lace became the thing it is today. It is not a beginner knitter's book, and it doesn't give you how to knit instructions either. Then it goes into the abbreviations of the symbols used, and I think they're pretty standard. And then on page 11, which my favourite page is, Shetland words associated with knitting. I give you drap it, slip it, loop, which is a stitch accidentally slipped from the needle, in tacks or decreases, ras, which are rows, sock is a piece of knitting, that's S-O-K, and my favourite is tack de sock, which is bring your knitting. And they use these words in the patterns too, so you will have to refer to them at some point if you're not from Shetland or don't have the lingo. They have very clear photographs throughout the book. They use a black background which shows up the patterns of the lace pretty well. Most of the patterns are knitted using white or light-coloured yarn, so this makes sense to use something to show the pattern through well. They have close-ups of the design features and overall photos so you can see what you are knitting. There's no holding a shawl whilst running down the beach and beautiful Shetland behind. No, no, no. These are functional photos. There's a nice picture of the Shetland sheep on the back. They don't have schematics, but they do have sizes written out. Oh, the instruction photos are pretty good for how you do grafting. They use blue yarn to show what you're doing because there is a lot of grafting in this book, and they take you through it. And there's good instructions for the dressing of the knitting, which is getting it ready to wear or blocking. Then we go to the patterns themselves. There is a wee piece on each designer, which I think is really nice, and some lovely quotes and phrases of local interest dotted around the book. Each pattern has a level of difficulty shown by a number of spinning wheels from 1 to 5, and their logo is taken from the Shetland Guild of Spinners, Knitters, Weavers and Dyers, which I think is quite a nice touch. The pattern themselves range from a full-on Shetland shawl to cardigans to wraps and scarves. There's no wedding ring shawl though here, which is one of the patterns I was expecting, and I'm a bit disappointed that it's not in there. They have the written instructions to start to end, a material size tension and notes, but they refer you to the charts. If you don't do charts, then beware, because there's only one pattern that has proper instructions. Some charts are perfect to look at. Some have them right beside the motif so you can get a good idea of exactly what you're aiming for in your pattern. Some are too small for me and I would be heading to the photocopier to enlarge them, even with this big size of book. Also, the key for the charts is the page at the front of the book, and I quite like my key beside my chart, so I would have to copy it to have it beside my pattern at all times. I think this book is perfect if you're into lace, especially Shetland lace. It's for you if you've got some Shetland wool in your stash, because as you'll know, a little goes a very long way. There's lots of human interest stories in this book, and I get a sense of pride and achievement from it. I like how they want to encourage other people in Shetland to knit and carry on the tradition, and I think it's written with a wee glint in their eyes. I'd recommend this book totally, and I put it on my Amazon wish list for Christmas. So this is A Legacy of Shetland Lace by the Shetland Guild of Spinners, Knitters, Weavers and Dyers.
Hello, 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 hello.
Hello section. A sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I still do appreciate you tuning in and I hope you're enjoying yourselves. A sandy hello to new group members, Doreen McLull, who just missed the last episode, Timberflute, Smokey Joe, who is the lovely lady who was sitting with me in Glasgow School of Yarn workshop with the Lush cardigan. So she got in touch, that was really nice. Hello! Camona, Rosie O'Joe, One, and Orange Maid. So I've had some lovely messages and I've also had some drive-by friending going on. Has anybody done drive-by friending recently where you just pick somebody randomly or a podcaster and just click be my friend on Ravelry? And it means that you can follow what patterns they've been looking at or have been doing, and it's just a bit more social media. Ravelry is quite a good place for social media if you're, say, stuck in the house for whatever reason, or you're just looking for a bit of a blether with someone to social media them. Random hellos are going to the G List, or the start of the G List, Gardening Witch, Gail BN, Gail Tory, Giftnik Girl, and Gillion. Now, I have a story about Giftnik Girl. Yes, you, Ella. I got a most lovely message from Hawthorne C saying that she was at the craft fair in Melbourne that she attends nearly every weekend, and she sells some of her lovely handspun and her craft. And this lady wandered over and, yarn, and she started to chat. And she says, oh, your accent, where are you from? And she says, I'm from Glasgow in Scotland. And she says, oh, I like to listen to a podcast from Scotland. And she says, that'll be Louise then. So this was Giftnik Girl speaking to Hawthorne C in Australia. How cool is that? And I was just absolutely made my day. So I was so tickle pink that you two got to meet each other. And this almost means I've met you, Hawthorne C, because I've met Ella a few times and I just love her. So I'm glad that you're having a lovely time to yourself and looking at crafty things, Ella, on your holiday.
What's the crack section?
What's a crack? I have mentioned the Katie Morag books by Mari Hederwig a few times in the past now, and now they've made it into a children's telly programme. It was on CBeebies on Sunday and it was quite delightful. I know they didn't manage to film it on the actual island of Col, where Katie fictional Struy is mostly based, but they used Lewis and they've mocked it up to look just like the books, and oh, I loved it. The actress Cherry that they've chosen for Katie Morag is close enough for me. She's just a lovely little actress. And they've got Granny Island and Neely Beggs spot on. Granny Mainland is Elaine C. Smith, and that's pretty darn cool to get her. Plus, the reason I draw it to your attention, mostly, is the knitwear. Katie Morag wears the most delightful, I've said delightful again, the most lovely jumper, which is a kind of Aran jumper with a yoke of blue, just like the book has her in. Plus, her mother wears a brown Fair Isle yoked cardigan, and Neely Begg has his woolly hat. I love the programme and I totally recommend it and the books. I've been listening to a few podcasts, all of whom mention Martina Bam. She's everywhere. The Knitmore girls are doing a Martina along, well, more of a Bam along, akin to my Natalie along, where you choose any of her patterns and knit away, but with a Martina and not a Natalie. She does have a wonderful selection of patterns. Because they're all talking about her, it's making me want to start a few now. The newest to me podcast I would like to recommend is called Knitting a Story, hosted by Jen and Lex, and they're based in Canada. And they were recommended to me by Karen from Knit One Gate 2, and I'm quite into listening to their knitted story. And one of them suggested when you pick up a book, go straight to page 99. And if you like it, then you're probably going to like the rest of the book. And I thought, wow, what a good idea. You could do this with podcasts too. Some podcasts have loads of episodes, and you don't know where to dip in, so you might miss all the in-jokes, not know what their titles refer to for their sections, but if you go to episode 99, see what it's like, and then on you go. Well, oh, this isn't going to work for me, because I'm only on episode 91, but I do recommend Knitting a Story, especially if you're varnishing. Dull bit coming. I've now done two doors, and their door frames, and the top of the stair banister. And we've now got to do the down part of the stairs. It took me 2.5 hours to do the first coat and the little bit of banister. 13 pillory bits. And I'm not looking forward to this because there's 20 odd of them. Small request, podcasters of my life. Could you please record this weekend for me doing the stair banister varnishing? And no, I don't care if you're all on retreat, Coggy, Twinsight, Jan, Knitting Paula. I'm actually really looking forward to hearing all about them. Last week we were treated to some Northern Lights, or for you other people, the Aurora Borealis. Facebook and Caithness just lit up with photographs and "get outside now" messages. So I donned Richard's Helly Hansen, been up Mount Blanc jacket and all my woolies, and I went out and I stood in the back garden. And I just thought, I'll record. So I did. Apologies for the rustle and the wind, but it's 9:30 at night and I'm standing outside my back garden and I'm with my eyes to the north and I'm watching the Northern Lights and it's quite beautiful, peaceful. The Milky Way is as clear as anything just now and it's quite calm, which is really bizarre. There's a very slight breeze, but the Northern Lights are just twinkling. And I'll try my best to describe it. It's not pitch black, but to the north of me, there's Orkney. And there's the glow of Flota, which is slightly orange. But above that, it's sort of like normal, sort of dark. But above that, there is a line. And it looks like sometimes when you see clouds and at night time and the moon is lighting them up. But it's a sort of shimmery cloud, long, right across, and you can almost see it as a curvature of the earth kind of cloud. And it's green, kind of like it's raining kind of cloud. But I know it's not because I can see the stars through it. And further up from that, we've got shoots of light coming up. And they don't come for very long. And they're like lighthouse beams or spotlights. And they just shine up, lovely and gentle, and then fade away again. And whilst I know the science behind it all,
I can't imagine being a cave person or a prehistoric dude, or even 2 centuries ago when they didn't know what they were, and standing outside and watching it and going, what's that? It was quite mystical. And there's greens and there's sort of yellows. Suppose I could imagine some blue in that, but the stars are just beautiful tonight. I've tried taking photographs, but it won't work on my iPhone, and hopefully we'll get some pretty star pictures on the proper big camera, but I can't promise anything. But if they do, I'll put them out. Directly in front of me, I'm looking at the Big Dipper. The Panhandle, as I like to call it, because it's the only one I can ever remember. Just below the Big Dipper, and I can hear geese in the background, and the tide as the waves coming in, and me rustling because I'm in my big huge jacket and I'm cold because I've been standing here for 15 minutes. But
none of my photos turned out.
Hopefully you've got a bit of the Northern Lights magic. So
my iPhone is not designed for that kind of thing.
Before Halloween.
The big camera is, and I don't know what the proper setting is for Aurora. It doesn't have one. I got some stars and some lights of the houses, but no Aurora. And then our friend Willie was driving around looking for Aurora, so I took a picture of Disney Sleeping Beauty for him. She's called Aurora. She's my favourite. I love her. I met her in Disneyland.
The swap section.
Swap. The Christmas tree decoration swap has been set up. Apologies to Rosie O'Joe. But luckily, I had an odd number, so I've paired her up with me, because I was feeling a bit left out. It's a Christmas tree decoration, along with 4 local to you items and a handmade card explaining it all. The decoration can be handmade or bought, but if it's bought, please make it a really nice one. For those of you that don't celebrate Christmas, don't worry, you're getting a skein of yarn in winter colours instead of the decoration. So please send it out by the 20th of November or your last posting date so that we get the postage date before Christmas correct and not miss it. I would like to say a big thank you to Cibola, who I received my swap package for the coaster swap last week. Wow. How she can fit so much into one little box, I don't know. And then I says, "Say, there wasn't 4 items in there, dear." And she says, "Well, there were sort of 4 selections. Because there was Sweeties for the Bairns, there was my lovely coasters which I'm using, there was a trivet with a dragonfly on it. Isn't that lovely? And Richard got some beef jerky. He loves you. Oh, there was some alpaca from her neighbour's alpaca. Oh, I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be made into fingerless gloves for me. So that fibre for me to spin up, so I'll get double the fun out of that. And the Bairns love the candy and the pencil. So thank you very much. Oh, and all the information. She sent me a map. Now, my mum loves reading a newspaper. When she gets her package, she just spread it all out and she was reading it. She just loved reading it. I loved the map. So anybody who wants to send me maps of where they come from, feel free. I just love maps.
The grandma section.
Here is the mum section. I went round for my lunch on Tuesday and I found my mum surrounded. After I got fed, well, you're always your mammy's bairn, aren't you? I whipped out my phone and I demanded a mum section. Hi, Mum.
Hello, Louise.
Right, can you tell me more about this table? Listeners, you need to see this. I've got a photograph of it, but Mum seems to be in her element.
I'm making Christmas cards, and that's all the stuff I'm using down there as well. And
there's a big tub on the floor.
One?
2 or 3.
And you've got to get everything out, you know, for an assortment of cards, right? Because I make all my Christmas cards.
And what happened the other day? You got a phone call saying?
Lottie phoned, would I make Christmas cards for the Guild sale? And big sigh. I'm not very happy in selling cards, but it is for a good cause, the Guild,
your
Church
cards
Guild.
Are fine.
So I've made them first because the sale is in November.
Can you start from the start then? What kind of card are you using? Is it
cardstock or boat card?
Boat card, it's white, this group here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the cream ones, they're boat as well. I haven't folded any myself. Until I've run out of all of them, I'll start cutting and mm-hmm. folding them.
And what techniques are you using?
Well, I've started with the stamps of Mary and Joseph, a rubber stamper, and then I put the embossing on, and then I put a little bit of glitter around the edge, and just to, I love glitter at Christmas. And Peace on Earth, I've got a big stamp, and I'd stamp all that and
emboss
that up, mm-hmm. and then cut them up. And that was bought, that one, the bauble.
So you're reusing from old Christmas cards?
No, that was bought by you.
Oh, was it?
In the summer, two or three packs.
Oh, packs of toppers, what they call toppers.
Yes.
Toppers, I would say they're kind of like already made up. For this instance, we've got a bauble and it's got fancy bits of wire on it and jewels and proper colours and stuff. It's to save you actually making up a bauble, which can take quite a bit of time.
That's right. I've just put the background on and it's got Christmas, and I put the red ribbon on at the top.
It's very effective. What else techniques have you got?
Last week I was invited by you to the textile artist to make
sheets of material.
Yeah, and so that's the green,
mm-hmm.
and I've cut Christmas trees out and I've decorated them with baubles, with stars, background. That's the snowman background.
Oh.
Then I put some glitter on the house, mm-hmm. and cut that out. And then I've done two or three thank you cards for when people get presents. Sometimes they write and say thank you. So that's for the Guild Seal.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done a few coloured. That's a stamp,
mm-hmm.
and then it's embossed, and I've coloured in the flowers. I love that stamp. Mm-hmm. You bought that for me as a present.
From Hobbycraft, Dan. Mm-hmm. It's got four daisies on it, and it's four squares with different sort of shapes of the daisy.
And
what's the sticky things down the side? Can you explain about them?
These, the red. Yes. Peel-offs. Yes,
peel-offs. How do you work peel-offs?
Well, you could get all different kinds. And this one, it's just a red strip with a fancy curve at the side. And you just peel it off. You measure what you want and then you trim. And I had put glitter glue down the sides, but I didn't like it. And I thought, oh, that's a wasted card.
Oh.
But when I thought, oh, I could do something with it. And you see, I had embossed the card.
Uh-huh.
So that was a guideline.
All right. Being covered straight.
Yes.
The peel-offs, they stick. They're kind of like fancy stickers. And you get millions of
different
times. So sort of saying happy Christmas, happy birthday. You get border ones. You get flowers. You get, you name it, you can have it. And they're quite a nice way to finish off your card if you don't like your writing, or you haven't got a rubber stamp that makes it look dead posh.
Mm-hmm. I've decided I'm going to get a rubber Christmas stamp
mm-hmm.
for next year.
Quite right. Because they're good, but there's only so many you can do it with them. Now, what is in your toolkit, Mum? I'm seeing things on your table.
Well, there's pens, coloured pens, there's gold pens, there's embossing powder, there's silver glitter, there's lots of different, oh, there's stamps.
Scissors. There's three pairs of scissors here.
But these are the best that I've ever bought because they're glue-free, non-sticks. Best thing I've ever bought when I'm gluing, I'm cutting the glue.
I'm cutting double-sided,
yes. Yeah. And I've got all the baubles and sequins, and they're awkward. I've got very thin double-sided tape. I've got broader-sided tape. I bought that yesterday.
Well, what is it?
Well, it's white glue.
PVE white glue.
And that's for these James,
right.
And a Prit.
Uh-huh.
and I've been sticking the stars on, and then I love this gold glitter, and me, this I bought yesterday, me glitter glue silver, mm-hmm. and this is glitter glue gold.
And it's called Stickles, and they're very good, but they can be quite expensive.
Yeah, but it's nearly finished as
me
silver one's finished too, and of course I have to use me tweezers.
Why would you use tweezers?
Well, for delicate work, to pick up gems, to knock them on nice to the other end, to keep them on the card. And, of course, I've got me little stars. I love them.
Oh, I love them little stars. But do you know what? We find them everywhere for weeks and months afterwards and go, yes, Grandma's made making Christmas cards again.
And then a cutting knife.
So I take a scalpel.
And I've got a plastic ruler. And next year I'm going to get a metal ruler because I've been trimming and trimming and trimming. And the ruler is all beveled when you, because the knife is very sharp, you know. Mm-hmm. So then I've got, that's for me glue. I just cut this out, this little cellophane stuff.
There's a piece of cellophane with a bit of glue in the middle, PVA glue, and three pins stuck to it. Now, can you explain that one?
Well, that pin is for to put the glue onto my card.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put my gem on.
Using?
This tweezers.
Uh-huh.
But before I do that, I have to glue the back of the gem.
Okay.
So I have to use the pin again. So I've got the pin to pick up the gem with the glue on. And then I've got the glue on the card. And I put the gem on and I get the tweezers and I dab the, you know, because if you do it with your finger,
no, it sticks to your finger.
Yes, it comes off with your finger.
So, see, you've got pins, she's got tweezers, she's got rulers, glue, things that you might not think instantly when you're thinking card making. Now, what else is there down here that I've not
mentioned?
I've
got coloured pencils,
gel pens.
Uh-huh. And I just wrote one, Happy Christmas. And I had to practice and practice. I wasn't quite happy with it, but I put it on.
Well, your writing's nicer than mine is. I don't think anybody would thank me for a card with my writing on it. Maybe I'll get the Bairns to do it this year. Oh, Mum's delving her head into the big box of stuff.
I've got Christmas stamps, the three wise men, the angel, the Mary and Joseph on a donkey, the star, the donkey.
We bought them at a craft fair, didn't we? Because we saw them all made up.
Yes. Now,
that's quite a good thing, is when you go to a craft fair, you might not buy all the stuff, but you get some beautiful ideas. And sometimes you get overloaded with ideas and you can't remember a thing when you come out.
True.
So if you do go, and if possible, ask if you can take a photograph of them doing the technique or the stamp if you're buying it. But it's a bit rude if you just take a photograph and not actually buy anything off the stand. So they don't mind, I don't think, as much if you're buying something, do they?
No, no.
But ask, full stop. What else have you been doing?
Well, last week we went and we did all this painting and
getting messy, basically.
All these different types of paper.
Yes.
This is...
That's Luchador, and we had some Evalon and Bondaweb.
And that was all double Dutch to me, but this Avalon makes lovely Christmas trees.
That was the whole point.
I was delighted with that. So I've got some drying.
Mm-hmm.
I've got gold on and gems and different sizes and shapes.
Mm-hmm. And what else craft-wise?
Craft-wise, right, I'm busy making my duvet. Yes, at last. And it's jelly roll.
Mm-hmm.
I've sewn up 4 strips. Then I've cut them 10 inches by 10, and I've overlocked every one, because with it being a duvet, it gets washed regular.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we were off at Glasgow, I bought a yard and a half of material that tones in with the colours, and the material is moda on the jelly roll.
Do you know off the top of your head what a jelly roll is, just in case listeners don't know?
It's strips of 2.5 inches. I can't remember how long they are, but if you spread both arms out and you're quite big, they're about that long.
Okay.
And they're all toning material, colours, and in the end they roll all the strips up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called a jelly roll.
Mm-hmm.
I've got all of those done, the squares, and I've cut the material I bought up the other week. I've cut some squares there, but I've got to continue, but I was busy doing the cards. So.
Uh-huh. And what have you been knitting?
Oh, socks! Well, when I started the heel, I pulled it out 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't have a clue. Nothing was making any sense to me. But with a lot of help from Louise.
And John.
Oh, yes, and John. But when I had finally got round to doing the heel, you were the only one there. John was long gone. And I was delighted. I did one sock. I came to the toe. I hadn't read the pattern right, so I hadn't kept my stitch marker in. So I had to work it out, and it worked out okay in the end. So I had emailed, "Help, Louise, help." But I had worked it out, and by the time Louise came, I had finished the sock, and I was on with the other sock. So I have one pair of Australian wool socks, pink and different colours, and I'm delighted with them. The only thing was they're not as long as I usually wear socks on the cuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't realise we could knit it a bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
So the next pair of socks I knitted longer at the cuff. So I've got one of them done and I've turned the heel on them. And then I have to knit another pair of socks. And then another pair. I'm going to have 7 pairs of socks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You wear them one day and you've got to wash them.
Oh, yeah,
they're true. Lovely and warm.
Mm-hmm.
The socks that I'm knitting at the moment is German sock wool.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not as soft as the Australian sock wool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still lovely. It's red and green and beige. And they make lovely patterns as you go along. And when you do one sock,
mm-hmm.
and it's all variegated, and that, I thought, how am I going to get that sock the same as that sock? So what I did, I measured the length of the collar, and before I trimmed it all off, and I started the same second sock the same.
Oh, right, okay. So if the top was blue, you found the bit of the wool that would start in
yes.
blue.
Yes. Right. Yes, and I waste a lot of wool on the second one, finding the same colour.
Well, I'll come back to you on that because I've got something new I heard about on Paula's Knitting Pipeline podcast. Remember Paula who came and visited us from America? Well, she's got a new idea about what to do with all them bits of sock wool. Very interesting.
Oh, lovely.
I will point you all to Knitted Ruffles episode. It's her new shawl pattern and the magic cake. Oh, wait till you go and listen. I'm not going to spoil it on this episode, but I really recommend that you do listen to it. I'm going to tell Mum. She's going to be delighted. So, Mum, you've been very busy.
Knitted 2 cowls.
Oh, 2 cowls.
Yes. One with sock wool
uh-huh.
from the pattern.
Uh-huh.
And delighted with it. That was mauve
mm-hmm.
and cream. And then because I had just a little bit left, I knit
Fingerless
gloves.
Oh, I saw them at church the other day.
Mm-hmm. And then I've knitted a shawl, the same pattern, lace,
mm-hmm.
and 14 rows of plain and then 12 rows of lace. The same pattern, but it looks completely different from the sock wool to the lace.
Uh-huh.
And lovely and warm.
Good. Well, we're needing that.
That's explaining why she got surrounded.
Mum's eating doesn't work.
Yeah.
Because thank you very much, Mum.
Me section, because it's all about me. I made another couple of wrist yarn project bags from an Etsy request, and the top hem part is pretty fiddly. I was queen of the pins. I think I'm going to have to ask Mum for some advice on this, because you're doing on a curve, and you're doing 2 seams together. They're just the look, geese.
In fact, I had swans this morning. They were honk. They make a different kind of honk, and I wish I recorded it, because then I could go, look, swans. I made the handles a bit longer this time. You loop one handle over the other and you hang it off your wrist with your yarn coming out, and it means you can stand and knit. And I often stand in front of the fire in front of winter while I'm knitting, talking to bairns through the homework or waiting for the tatties boiling. And I've used to have the yarn under my armpit or tucked in my pocket, and often dropped it. So these are in the Etsy shop as of this morning, and I've put a photograph onto Flickr, probably Ravelry as well, so you can get an idea. And if you want one, just message me and we can bypass the whole Etsy fee. Woo-hoo. I was going to make a few more, and it's more about getting the material together that was stopping me. They take a decent long quarter of a metre, but the size is a bit awkward to fit more than one out of a fat quarter. On to knitting. I cast on my Owl's jumper, yes again. This is the pattern from Kate Davies. I'm using the new Lanark Chunky and a grey kind of colour, and it's going to be my neutral go-with-everything jumper. I knit the ribbing up really quickly, and I did it a wee bit longer in the rib than 2 inches, because this seems to be better flatter in my tummy. Then I did decreases, and then I didn't count how many stitches I had. I carried on after the decreases, and then I counted it, and I don't think I've got the right amount of stitches, so basically I put it back in the bag, and I'm thinking about it. Now I have a question. When you have stitch markers in certain places and you need to rip back, say, 4 rows, what do you do? Do you tink back and take it out and rip to where you need to, but how do you keep the stitch markers in the same place, in the right place? And I really like this jumper so far. Having seen a Parliament of Owls jumpers at the Glasgow School of Yarn, and then asking the lovely Sadie her advice on how I could knit it, with my tummy being size 14 realm and my waist being and top being size 10 to 12, which is what I'd needed to hear. So Sadie, you are an enabler. The yarn is a bit scratchy just now, but I hope it'll soften up after washing, because if not, it'll just be grand, as it's a jumper you wear over top anyway. I've also cast on the first Gryffindor scarf for Sandy, and I'm using Barège de France worsted in a maroon and a Rowan Creative worsted on the gold. And it's a free pattern on Ravelry from Sarah Rose Now. And I had to order more as the maroon is eating up the yarn. It's pretty easy knitting, as you expect a scarf to be, and I'm using Clover DPNs in size 6mm, and it's chunky, so it's working up quite quickly. The pattern says, do the scarf in the flat and seam up the sides, but as others before me have decided, oh no, I'm not seaming that if I can do it in the round. So then I just have to seam up the bottom edge and put the tassels on to it there and not up the side. 2 days ago, I got a phone call from the head teacher of the school asking if I would take a table to sell my crafty stuff at the school fair. I gulped and I thought, I don't know what to make. Yes, I know I've got the Etsy shop, but this is Keith Nesson's. Most of them can make it themselves, and they don't like to pay other people if they can do it themselves. Not all of them knit, and not all of them want knitty things like project bags. So, ideas for me to make things, please. They can't take much time. I'm not a fast knitter to make knitted Santas or scarves. I could do needle felting. I might stretch a couple of Despicable Me Minion hats, possibly another Hello Kitty hat. Although, if I make another and it doesn't sell, what do I do with it? Because Daisy doesn't need to. I checked the pattern and it says I can sell the product as long as I give her credit, which is fair enough. I've had a few ideas. Magic keys for Santa, because not all bairns' houses have chimneys. I've got a bag of old keys for that. I could do some Christmas decorations. A couple of project bags, possibly some handspun, although this means processing fleece. Some of you on Facebook and Twitter have suggested things already, and I've been on Pinterest, but please fire any ideas my way. Enforce crafting! What a bind! And I have collective news. Textile artist. We got really messy at Caithness Textile Artists, as my mum has mentioned, and we got our paints out to do Christmassy things. No Caithness inspiration here, take note. So bad. Along we went, and I took mum along because she said she was needing a bit of inspiration for her Christmas cards, and I thought she might like to get out of her freezing house because her oil tank needs replaced and she's waiting on them doing it. So my poor mum. Anyway, we got out our acrylic paints and brushes and spray bottles. Luchador, Avalon, Bondaweb. Luchador and Avalon is not a foreign language. It is the name of a type of material. And it's akin to, think of violin or thick Bondaweb, but without the sticky back. It can be used to reinforce garments or upholstery items. No, we use it for arty things. There's none of that using it for its actual proper use in my house. I have photos and they are on Flickr. And I was asked to carry on with the Caithness Textile Artist blogspot, which I've been doing so for the tapestry. And I was quite delighted to do so. So I've uploaded the photographs, but I haven't actually put them on the blog yet for this week. Mum, Catherine and I were painting Luchador, Avalon and Bondaweb. And this is to have a background for the next stage. Mum's already told you that hers was green. It makes great trees. I mean, I know you can get the same effect from paper or mulberry paper, but she was out of her cold house. Dorothy was layering up a piece of purple painted Luchador, and onto it she put a sprinkle of glitter, and then she sort of cut up fancy threads and sparkly bits. Then she put a layer of Bondaweb over it, and then on top of it, once she'd ironed on the Bondaweb, she put on a gossamer chiffony piece of material and then ironed it flat. Now think of the hair nets that old deers used to wear to cover their curlers. They're brilliant. And the top layer holds in the snippety bits, and she's used this whole piece as a cover for her hymn book at church. Celia was doing a similar exercise but in a gold colour, and then we looked out some threads and tassels from the cupboard. I've got a great photo of Dorothy and Celia all excited about one of the tassels and snipping it up and laughing about it. Shirley's doing an autumn panel. She had a piece of machine-knitted Jameson and Smith cream yarn that she had felted on purpose, or felt to be technical, but I like felting better, it sounds more dramatic. And she had appliqued on some leaves which she cut out in material of appropriate colours. The next week she had done her piece of Luchador in light blue and silver, and she had some bits in the middle layer, and it really did look like an ice puddle. You know the way you get little white bits of bubbles on it? So she had something that looked just like that. Anne is new to the group but not to quilters. She's just retired, so she has time to come during the day now. She's extremely grifted and is a good addition to the group. She was working on an if effect akin to something that Inika Berlin had in the Stitches magazine, where you cut up the Luchador, you sew it onto a background piece to make another picture. Shirley has made one of these too. Anne has also taken along her cuddle bug. And for those of you who are not sure what that is, it's a wee machine that you can insert a die cutting board with paper or material, and you roll it through and it die cuts your card or material. The machines are a bit expensive and the dies can be too, but if you're going to get into that craft, then it is a good investment. And you add up your dies like you would your yarn or your rubber stamp stash. So the cuddle bug is the great big thing, and then the dies can cost anything from £3 up until £20, etc. You know, just like rubber stamps. And it's an informed investment because you think more closely about what die cuts that you want. Because they think, well, I'll use a lot of these, but I maybe won't use a lot of that one. Celia had taken in a piece of hand embroidery that she had bought when on holiday in Vietnam, and it was really lovely to look at the different stitches that they had used. She also had in a machine embroidered picture of a landscape of fields and poppies in the foreground. She'd bought this from a craft fair in Thurso. Quite appropriate for this time of year, the poppies, and there was loads of work in this. The perspective was spot on. The maker had painted the background too, and the machine embroidery was really quite fine. What got me was she must have changed threads an awful lot, just for the odd stitch. Well, that would upset me. But it was inspiration to see it. Valerie was doing a great technique of getting really messy and enjoying herself. She had some cellophane from a greeting card that she had kept. And you could use wrap that you get flower bunches in, or even some food packets, as long as you don't have dirt in them. She put some acrylic paint in the middle of one, and then we put this into a sandwich of baking parchment and ironed it. Now, the cellophane crinkled as it melted and sandwiched the paint together. So then she cut shapes out of the cellophane sandwiched, and then she ironed it again. Then she cut it up. And then the paint has a lovely shiny look to it, but you have to kind of use the thicker cellophane for that. And then she thought, I'm not going to be able to sew this because the paint's still wet in the middle. Then she got sidetracked with Anne's cuddlebug, and she was having immense fun making snowflakes and butterflies. And I've now got a piece of green luchador myself, a brown and gold piece of Avalon, and a purple-blue luchador as well. And I sandwiched up the purple one using metallic sequins and some Angelina fibre, metallic fibre, and one skeleton leaf, because it was the only one I could find. The green piece, I rubber-stamped some Christmas stamps onto it, and then I cut out a reindeer shape, because reindeers are green, and then the rest into little Christmas trees. They are green, I know that for a fact. The reindeer's obviously been seasick. The gold one is not telling me what it wants to be, so it's upstairs talking to the rest of the Christmas stuff until it tells me. Sewing days. Oof, you still awake out there. I went to 2 sewing my own thing days in the past fortnight. I know, Richard's wondering where I've gone to. Well, one of them's in school time, so it doesn't matter. The first one was a Keith's Quilter sewing day where we could just take in our own thing, because we have them once a month. But the first 45 minutes, it's always looking, talking, sharing, buying, not sewing. I had taken in Sandy's Halloween bat costume, and I was making from the material I bought from Manders. Now, my forte is not costume making, I am sad to say. He had 4 Halloween parties after the first one. I was so done with Halloween. And I had to go through 3 more. And poor soul, he never won best dressed yet. Now, Daisy had a bought one because she wanted to be a witch, fairy, tiger, because just that's Daisy. She just goes and enjoys herself. And I promised him next year that I would make a better one. Hopefully he'll choose an easier subject, or I'll get better ideas on Pinterest. On the rest of the days, I was putting the work in on my jelly roll quilt. I had to do a line from one corner to the other on 64 of them, and sew a quarter inch either side of the middle sewn line, and then cut in them half to make 128 squares. Then I had to iron the stitches to set them. This is new. I didn't know this, and I was going, oh look, I'm on number 7 of this pattern. And then I read number 6 and went, when do we have to do the ironing, the setting of the stitches? And they all looked at me and went, we've always had to do that. Have you not? And I looked back and went, no. Okay. So, yeah, that's a new thing to me. And then you have to iron the seams open and then cut the dog's ears off. No, the squares, not Quattro's ears. I like Quattro's ears, but he is rather attached to them. And I was finding that bit quite a grind. I think it's my going through a project and getting to that bit of the project when I'm fed up with it. And then I put a bit of work into it, walk away from it sometimes, and all of a sudden I can see the other side. I'm not quite at that bit yet. I did enjoy the sewing days because then I could ask all the questions I wanted to, and there was 10 people there waiting to offer advice. But I did find it quite weird because when I am sewing, I do like to listen to music or podcasts mostly, and I couldn't because I felt it would be a bit rude.
What's you doing?
What you doing? I asked Twitter this episode what you were doing for a change, and this was what was happening. Judith in Netherlands is knitting giant-sized kilt holes in sock yarn and feeling guilty about not achieving many goals I've set myself. Don't feel guilty, Judith. Just crack on with what you're doing. You've got a little man to look after. Louise Scully is saying, I am standing at the photocopier at work daydreaming about my whips and swaps. Knitting does take over sometimes. Hashtag whoops paper jam. Cece, the lovely acanthus, was sitting in the airport in Wrocław, Poland. I'm not sure how I say that properly, and I'm sure that's not it. They are on their travels again, going to Morocco via Paris. Bon voyage, Cece. I hope you're enjoying Europe at this time of year. And poor Cassie Knits was at the dentist and had a numb mouth. That's poor soul if you have a numb mouth. Sorry, poor Cassie Knits.
Shoppy section.
I've made a couple more of the wrist yarn bags because they are very handy for knitting on the go. because, as I say, I keep throwing my wool and I don't need to anymore. And the listener who bought the last one said she would never have to chase a ball of wool up a moving train ever again. And she did the same thing about me as dropping the DPN down the side of the chair. Now, I've done this in the car when I've been knitting, and it goes to a place where you can only get it if you are stopped, there is daylight, and you can get into the back seat. And my mum did the same thing when we were coming up, and I just handed her one of mine and went, "Knit on, mother!" Still for sale. Nobody want my crazy patchwork style bag. Poor it. It's feeling left out. So it's a decent size and it's very well made. And I like it. But I'd like to sell it for £15. I still have the picture envelopes and the stationery to go with them for sale for £5 for 5 notelets and envelopes. And I, funnily enough, found someone else on Etsy selling loads of these. She doesn't sell the notelets with them. And hers are more expensive than mine, so grab yourself a bargain from me. And I'm not trying to underprice her, I just think that that's how much mine should cost. So please do go look www.etsy.com/shop/Caithness Craft. If you want anything from there and you want to bypass the Etsy, just let me know and I'll make it for you. Blah 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 section. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download and then listen to me splaff on. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com and I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram as caithnesscraft, and you can access the Flickr photos from LouiseJ2010 or via the Podbean site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. And I'm on iTunes and the photos are down the right hand side of the Podbean site. The music again is from Jara with Gatsby Sound because I like the beat in it, and you can go buy this from musicalley.com. I've put it all at the end this time because I just thought I'd like hear it all. Hopefully the lyrics are okay because I couldn't make out them all. Thank you for listening and please keep on crafting.
Chains beneath the rest, 'cause I'm not afraid.